Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
All right. Oh, mic is on. Wonderful. All right. Good morning, Lambrick. Welcome here. I'm really excited to have the kids in the room with us this morning. I find it just feels more like a family gathering together when we've got the extra wiggling and the extra energy with us in the room. It's such a beautiful thing that I think helps reveal more of God's heart for us as his children, for his unstoppable love, as well as further revealing how God calls us to care for each other. Right here in these real life moments that sometimes get a little chaotic and a little bit messy. And if you find yourself easily distracted, I realize it's a bit more of a distracting room this morning, but this is a perfect time to practice refocusing on God while there are people directly talking about God. Because that refocusing on God practice can be incredibly helpful during the rest of the week when the demands of our everyday lives constantly shift our focus. And it's a lot easier to practice when there's such a direct reference to what you're trying to refocus to, right? So it's a great opportunity to practice strengthening those refocus muscles. So today, let's embrace the fact that it's different. Our time together this morning, as Scott mentioned, has been crafted to provide an intentional opportunity for us to discover and celebrate all that's going on in the life of our church, and to invite us all to find ways to participate, to lean in together, to join our community as we together say yes to God's invitation to join him in the work he is doing in the world. Because God's invitation is for all of us. All of us are invited in. It's going to be a great morning, but let's start with prayer. Creator of the heavens and the earth, you call us your children. You invite us in, into community, into your work in the world, into your story. Help us to hear your invitation this morning. Amen. All right, you've probably noticed I've got some props up here this morning, a little bit different. And one of them I'd like to talk about right now. So before we jump into the Bible, I want to give you guys a challenge. First, think of a basket in your mind. It can be whatever shape you want it to be. It might look like this basket. It might look different. Do you guys have the image in your mind? So to anyone who has pipe cleaners, I have a challenge for you, and it's to make a basket out of your pipe cleaners. Can you figure out a way to do it? I'll give you a moment to get started, and then I'm going to jump into our Bible passage for today while you keep working. If working on the basket is going to distract you from what I'm saying, it's okay to just fidget with your pipe cleaner or to put it down if you notice it's really distracting you. But if you're like me and find it a lot easier to listen if your hands can fidget on something, then I'd love to see what sort of basket you guys come up with. So this morning, we're going to be looking at a very short little passage from the book of Acts that is also referenced very briefly in 2 Corinthians. Our main focus is actually just three little verses about a time in Paul's life that I'd like for us to explore. Very quick note, Paul is sometimes called Saul when he's in Israel, and he's called Paul when he's in the rest of the Roman Empire because of the different languages and the way they pronounce his name. So Saul, Paul, same guy. I'm just going to call him Paul to make it easier. So this part of Paul's life takes place very shortly after he first started to follow Jesus. And given the excitement of that moment, this little moment often gets overlooked. But I think it's got some really good reminders for us, partly about how the church is a community, of Jesus followers. Not a building, although we often call these churches, and not just a service that we show up at. Church is the community, the people. We are the church. The Sunday morning services help us be the church. The building helps us be the church. But we are the church. The people, the community. A bit of background will be helpful to understand what's going on in this little passage and how it paints this beautiful picture of the Christians in Damascus being the church. So super quick recap. We're going to go quick. Jesus has just recently tasked his followers with sharing with others who he is, what he's done, all of it, and then ascending back into heaven. His followers obey, and crowds of people start to believe. The good news is spreading, but not everyone is very happy about that. Some religious leaders in the area are getting angry about it, so angry they are getting violent even, and Paul is one of those people. He seems to be doing it out of a desire to love God with everything he's got, but it would appear he's forgotten the command to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that that is also a very important part of obeying God. So he gets permission from the other angry leaders, who don't seem to understand what they're doing is wrong, to go to a nearby town called Damascus so he can continue being angry and violent there towards the people choosing to follow Jesus. As he's walking there, his whole life changes. Light so bright he can't see anything, and he hears Jesus tell him to stop. That Jesus considers the violence his followers are facing as violence against Jesus himself. And since Jesus is God the Son, Paul needs to stop being violent towards God. And then he can't see anything. And Paul has to depend on the men he's traveling with to lead him to town. And there's a piece of this that's going to continue in Paul's life, in the church's life, and in our lives. Jesus doesn't want us to have to do our faith by ourselves. That was never the plan. Same deal for Paul. So God sends a guy named Ananias in Damascus to Paul. Ananias is afraid of Paul, but God tells him all that has happened and assures him it is now safe and exactly where to find Paul. So he does and tells Paul everything that has happened to Paul and that God sent him, Ananias, to help out. Something like scales fall off of Paul's eyes and he can see again. He eats again. He gets baptized and spends some time with the Christians in this town. And after several days, Paul is now out telling everyone he can about Jesus. He's going into the synagogues in front of big crowds and explaining who Jesus is. But remember how there were some religious leaders who were angry about people choosing to follow Jesus? Well, now the ones in Damascus are mad at Paul. That's where our short little passage that I really want to focus on starts. So Acts 9, 23 to 25. After many days had gone by, they made plans to kill him. But Paul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept a close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. That's right. Paul is in a basket. When I had you make the basket out of pipe cleaners, you probably weren't picturing it holding a person. But this basket is for a person so that he can be lowered down a wall so he can escape and continue to live. Paul's life, right? So I have a question. Could Paul have escaped if it was just him in a basket? No. No. You need people holding on to the ropes. He's not going anywhere just sitting in a basket, right? He needed help, which is something we all need sometimes. Actually, a lot of times. Maybe not for getting from place to place in a basket, but we need each other, and that's not some sort of failing on our part. We were created this way on purpose to need each other. While Paul might have been considered the main character in this story, although God is, but of the humans in this piece of history, Paul seems like the main character, right? But he's certainly not the only one. This all takes place within community, only makes sense within community. What would have happened if no one ever helped Paul out when he was blind and in a new town and had only just realized Jesus is God the Son? What would have happened if Paul didn't have a group of Christians to gather with those first few days when he had so much to learn? How much more difficult would his faith journey have been? Paul is often looked up to within the Christian faith because he did accomplish a lot, but he needed help too, just like you and I. What about if the basket is fraying and falling apart, which this one kind of is, actually. Would that have ended well for Paul?
No.
And after finding out that they wanted to kill him, I'm not sure if Paul was able to go out and get a basket himself. Or did he have to rely on a friend to go get it for him? Because Paul hadn't been in town for very long. I don't believe he had planned on staying for very long. So I kind of doubt that he was just carrying around a person-sized basket. And while Paul didn't have much, given that this was probably a planned short trip to town, he also did give what he could. He had been trained his entire life in the Jewish scriptures, so he could share his knowledge, his training, to help explain how Jesus was the fulfillment of so many promises found in the Jewish scriptures. He was able to use his personality, his past experiences, his skills, to help others, as he received help from others with other personalities, past experiences, and skills. When we think about how we can join in community instead of just showing up at church, one piece of advice that I think is quite valuable to consider is just what makes sense given your gifts, your personality, your stage of life. What seems like an easy way to care for others in our community, our city, our world? What seems like it'll meet a need that you have in this season of your life, whether for care, support, or for a challenge? God knows we are different. He made us different on purpose. And made us with limitations on purpose. We are supposed to come together and care for each other. So it makes sense that we're supposed to do that in a way that considers how God created us and the skills we've developed thus far. For example, I can attest to how cared for a person can feel by having a meal dropped off during a particularly rough season in life. When my dad died and we were planning the funeral, deciding what to make for dinner, did we have enough of the right ingredients? All those little things didn't feel little. They felt like a lot. And this church showed up by delivering meals for my family in that season, and it was such a blessing. But I have never joined the meal train. Why? Because I am a terrible cook. That would just be an unkind thing to do to someone who's already going through a difficult season in life. We're not going to do that. How we come together as community depends on us being different. If we were a community all like me, none of us would be feeding each other. It would be a problem. Having different strengths, different skills, different personalities, none of us can do it on our own. So it makes sense that a strong community has people with different passions and different abilities, to cover and care for all of us as best we can, as a whole. For Paul, he needed a community in that moment that at least included people who would welcome him, even though he made them uncomfortable, people who would help him grow in his faith, people who had a basket they could share with him, people who could make sure the basket was in good repair, and at least a few people strong enough to hold the ropes and lower him down. This doesn't work if it's just Paul in a basket. And our community doesn't work if it's not us working together. Does cuddling babies and laughing with toddler shenanigans sound like fun or overwhelming? If chatting with folks causes you anxiety or just drains you, helping with ELL might not be for you. But if you enjoy meeting new people and getting to know them, well, then maybe listening patiently as someone practices their English is a great fit for you. Do you love to garden or have a passion for making sure our building is in good enough repair to actually be able to help us be the church? What has God gifted you with? What makes sense? What seems easy or exciting? We have so many different options here. Our church is doing things. God is in the move. And in a few minutes, we'll pack up the outermost sections of the chairs, set up some tables, and we'll have a chance to practice being a community. Hearing about how God has been at work in such wildly different ways, finding out how we can pray for each other as we say yes to what God has invited us into, recognizing that God is inviting us into different areas and forms of community. And of course, you'll have the opportunity to join in with various ministry opportunities, to be able to participate in ways that make sense for who God created you to be. Let's pray, and then I'll give some practical instructions. Jesus, you are good and you love us. Help us to love you and each other more and more each day. Help us be the community you are inviting us to be. Amen.